This is BFBS.
The Forces Station.
Rachel Price meets country singer and US Army veteran Scotty Hastings.
I am Scotty Hastings. I'm a combat wounded Army infantryman and a country music recording artist, I guess now. That's so weird to say. While in Afghanistan, we were on patrol and I was shot 10 times, 5 times in the shoulder, 4 times in the hip, and once in the thigh. Then eventually medically retired out of the military.
Old man next door gave 55 years to the factory. He died with $1 million underneath his bed. He spent his whole life saving up for a boat and a brand new truck. Got a free ride to the bottom of a 6-foot hole instead. Well, if he was here, I'd bet his one regret would be he left whiskey in the bottle, money in the bank, wax on the candle, gas in the tank. Pour it to the top, drink every drop, 'cause if there ain't no tomorrow, I ain't gonna leave whiskey in the bottle. Take the day off and spend it on my baby. Pick her up and take her somewhere she ain't ever been before. Get her home after sunset. Take the top shelf off the top shelf. Blow off the dust and make love till there ain't no more. Whiskey in the bottle, money in the bank, wax on the candle, gas in the tank. Pour it to the top, drink every drop, 'cause if there ain't no tomorrow, I ain't gonna leave whiskey in the bottle. On the candle, gas in the tank. Pour it to the top, drink every drop, 'cause if there ain't no tomorrow, I ain't gonna leave whiskey in the bottle. No, no, no. No, no, no. Whiskey in the bottle.
I mean, it is an incredible story, and it's not a story that a lot of people in this day and age kind of live to tell. There must be something in you that kind of keeps you going on a daily basis, being like, there's someone looking after me. There must be something that kind of gets you through it.
Yeah. I still have those moments basically every day where I'm like, how am I here? You know, why am I here? Like, there's people that get hurt a lot less than I do, and they aren't around anymore. And, I want to use my music to try to help people. And if I can stay on that path and use music as for that purpose, then I feel like I'm doing something with the time that I've been blessed to have.
And also, after the incident in Afghanistan, you used archery as a tool to kind of manage your PTSD, didn't you?
Yes, I did. So the Surgeon General of the Army was pushing adaptive sports so much that when I got to Fort Riley, they gave me a list. And I tried every adaptive sport that I could, from like sitting volleyball to wheelchair basketball to there was even a basket weaving class. But in that was also archery. And I was like, you know, I'll give it a shot. Let's see what happens. So the guy was like, you know what, are you right-handed or left-handed? And I was like, well, I'm right-handed, but I have an injury to my hand. Like, I have no feeling whatsoever. I have this much movement in my hand. Like, there's an injury there. And he was like, it'll be all right. If you're right-handed, that's what we'll do. And then three arrows into the ceiling later, he was like, okay, you're a liability. We need to stop. this is dangerous, because I can't feel my hands. So my finger would be on the trigger and I'd go to pull back and it would just release. So it was pretty sketchy. But you know, that night I went back to my house and I said, man, there's no way this guy's gonna tell me I can't do this. Like, I'm gonna figure out a way how to do this. And you know, this hand just kind of sits there. And I noticed that the hand that holds the bow is just supposed to be relaxed and not moving. So what if I just put the bow in this hand and we like wrap it around the bow so that the bow doesn't go flying. And I shoot with this hand. And the guy was like, I mean, we could try it. Let's give it a shot. So we did it. And you know, archery was amazing because it gave me that little bit of escape and that little bit of peace that I needed, because for 7 seconds before I released that arrow, nothing else in the world mattered. You know, all the PTSD, the depression, the anxiety, it was all gone in that moment. And I lived for those 7 seconds. So I would shoot every day to the point of where eventually I got recruited by the U.S. Paralympic Committee and became part of the U.S. Paralympic program and started shooting all over the country and started competing and started making money doing archery, which was incredible.
BFBS,
the Forces Station.
Rachel Price meets Scotty Hastings.
Girl, I've been a selfish fool, drowning myself in 90 proof. But honestly, I swear it's true, I'm learning. Now I've come to understand, I was holding matches in my hand every time another bridge was burning. Now I'm running, angel, I'm running. Oh, I'm running home to you. A woman with a lesser faith would have had all that she can take. Yeah, your patience sure is something. What kind of love is that? You give more than you get back. God knows I don't deserve it. So I'm running, angel, I'm running.
When COVID hit and the world kind of shut down, it was an incredibly difficult time for many, but especially those who suffer with challenges like PTSD, and isolation doesn't yes. help. And, you know, it kind of put an arrow, so to speak, in a lot of the work that you were doing with your recovery as well. So, you know, how did you get through it?
I honestly, if I'm going to be real, other than losing some incredible friends, it was a time for me to find a new me. And of course, when the world shut down, it got quiet. And when it gets quiet, you know, that's when the demon's not the loudest, that's when it's quiet. So I needed a way to get out of my head. I needed a way to quiet the demons that I was fighting every day. So I had a guitar in the corner of my room. And one day I was just looking at it and I was like, I want to learn how to play this thing. I have nothing else to do. I need to escape into something. I'm going to use guitar to do it. So I jumped on YouTube and I started learning how to play, and that became my new escape and my new piece that I had every day. So I lived for those moments when I could be playing the guitar. So slowly I started learning how to write songs, because I was sitting there one day and I was like, man, I have all these thoughts and I have all these feelings, and like my cup is about to run over. I need to put them somewhere. I need to do something with these thoughts and with these feelings. And so I jumped on YouTube and started learning how to write music. And that became a new form of peace that I could find. And so I now at this point had two different things that I could do that would quiet the demons and give me the opportunity to escape into something. So I went to an open mic one night because my buddies were going there and they're like, man, just come out, it'll be fun. Like, come play a song. And I was like, all right. Like, I mean, what do I have to lose? You know, like, why not? So I went to this open mic and jumped on stage, and I played the first song I ever learned how to play, and it should have been A Cowboy by Toby Keith. And in that moment, I knew that this is what I needed to do forever. You know, that I found that escape and that peace, but it was magnified 100 times when I was on stage. And I was like, oh my God, I need to do this forever. Like, this has to be what I do. And I had heard from the grapevine of my friends that down in Nashville on Broadway, you could play 3 to 4 hours a day, like at a time. I want to do that. Like, I want to live in that world where the PTSD and the depression and the anxiety is gone for 3 to 4 hours a day. I want to do that. And I had the ability to get away from the PTSD and depression and the anxiety, and I lived for those 3 to 4 hours a day.
BFBS, original music specials. Rachel Price meets country singer and U.S. Army veteran, Scotty Hastings.
Friday night down at the Legion Bar, Bill opened up a box of old cigars. Said on this day back in 69, I lost the best friend of mine. Kinda said that's a place I've been, but it was 2010 Afghanistan. He raised his glass, said here's to friends and the wrongs we made sacrifice. Yeah, the times and places they may change, one thing stays the same. The stories that they tell about going through hell, if you think they wouldn't do it all over again, well, you just don't know them. The memories that they own of the ones who didn't make it home, yeah, they sure do miss them, but they keep them all living in the stories that they tell. Bartender said next round's on me. I spent some time overseas. Tonight's my first night behind this bar, Bill handed him a cigar. Well, the faces in the pictures, they may change, but one thing stays the same. The stories that they tell about going through hell, if you think they wouldn't do it all over again, you just don't know them. The memories that they own of the ones who didn't make it home, yeah, they sure do miss them, but they keep them all living in the stories that they tell.
some will cry, sometimes they'll wonder why. And I've been there, so I wrote this song. I know the need to carry on. The stories that they tell about going through hell, if you think they wouldn't do it all over again, well, you just don't know them. The memories that they own of the ones who didn't make it home, it sure do miss them, but they keep them all living in the stories that they tell. It will sure do miss them, but they keep them all living in the stories that we tell.
You know, we know that plenty of old country singers do see Kentucky as a home state, even if they're not from there. And with you growing up there in your childhood, is that what influenced you to go down the country route?
No, actually, Garth Brooks is the reason why I decided to do that. My dad and Garth Brooks, really, is what it was. So I grew up where my mom listened to, like, contemporary Christian all the time, and then my dad just listened to country. And I remember we used to listen to Garth Brooks on repeat, like, back in the day when we had cassettes, we'd put one side in, play that side, flip it over, put the other side in, play that side, and just keep flipping it back and forth. And really just truly love the storytelling in country music and what country music represents and what it can be. So when it came time to learn songs, and then when it came time to, you know, being an artist and picking what genre I wanted to be a part of, it had to be country, because that was just the way that I was brought up. But that was, you know, there's not another genre in music that tells stories the way that country does. And I love that. And there's something so magical and poetic about a song that can become a movie.
I love that. It's so poetic as well. Just you say, you know, you close your eyes and you can see this movie unfold. I also want to say as well, the whole Garth Brooks thing, I feel like just by saying that one thing, you now have an entire country that are like, I like this guy, because here in Northern Ireland, Garth Brooks is like number one. And you mention that name anywhere and people instantly turn their heads. So the fact that he is, like, you know, one of those big childhood inspirations for you, everyone in Northern Ireland's going to be like, we need to listen to Scotty right now. So
I love that.
There's an entire
Absolutely,
country here for
man,
you.
You know, he's the man. And, you know, the craziest part is not too long ago, I got to meet him. It was on Good Morning America. And my name's Scotty Hastings. Like, it's great to meet you. And he was like, oh, yeah, man, thank you so much. He said, hold on, Scotty Hastings. Like, I'm American Scotty Hastings. And I was like, Garth Brooks listens to my music. Like, what? And he's like, man, I love that song. And I was like, what is happening? What is happening in my life right now? I just kind of freaked out a little bit. Like, my soul left my body in that moment. And I just came back. And I was like, oh, my God, did Garth Brooks really just say that? But it was incredible. You know, and Garth Brooks is such like a, he's just a normal guy, you know, like, he just looks like everyone's uncle, you know, like, that's just, but he's just, he just seems like such a great person, you know. And when I met him, he was just super genuine and looked me in the eyes and cared about what I was saying. And it was really, really cool. It was really cool.
So was that your kind of first sort of pinch me moment? Like, I've made it. Garth Brooks knows who I am.
Yeah, I was ready to retire after that. I was good. I was good.
I've made it in life. Garth Brooks knows who I am. I'm done.
I've done everything I could ever do.
Looking back on the memory of the dance we shared beneath the stars above, for a moment all the world was right. How could I have known that you'd ever say goodbye? And now I'm glad I didn't left doing jazz. I could have missed the pain, but I'd have had to miss the dance. Holding you, I held everything for a moment. Wasn't I the king? But if I'd only known how the king would fall, hey, who's to say? You know I might have changed it all. And now I'm glad I didn't know the way it all would end, the way it all would go. Our lives are better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd have had to miss the dance. It's my life, it's better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd have had to miss the dance.
Without a doubt, The Dance is the song that made me fall in love with music. That is the song to me that is the perfect song. You know, he's put out a lot of amazing stuff. He's got a lot of incredible music, but The Dance has always been and will always be my favorite. It will always be the staple to which country music, I feel like, should be at. I feel like The Dance is the perfect song.
This is BFBS, the Forces Station.
Rachel Price meets country singer and U.S. Army veteran, Scotty Hastings.
I know, you know, you say that you grew up with a lot of Garth Brooks country music from your dad and that kind of like Christian music from your mum. But how come you never ventured into the music scene until 2020? Like, did you not sing while you were deployed? Like, I know you said that you had a guitar during lockdown. Did you never kind of play this growing up? Like, where did the influence come from? Why was it so late?
That's a great question. You know, I've been singing since I was a kid. You know, of course, just like every other country artist in church and, you know, in choirs and in church. And that's what I did. You know, singing was always my happy place. It was kind of just something that I did for me. It was never anything that I ever thought I would do. For me, music came more out of necessity for my mental health. And for me, it became a necessity and then it became an obsession. You know, and that's the thing. I'm so blessed now that I have a platform where I can actually put music out and people can hear it. And it can give them the hope to possibly put the gun down and to move forward. And it can give them the help in some way, shape, or form that, you know, that I hope that it does, that these songs give me.
Oh, I'm the echo of the bell that's ringing. Oh, I'm the freedom.
So, Scotty, it's not all about the touring and the rock and roll designer lifestyle. You do dedicate a lot of your time to charities and a lot of the projects to give back as well, don't you?
I do. For me, with wanting to help people with music, it just makes sense that I get to partner with some incredible nonprofits that help veterans every day. And if there's a way for me to be able to be a part of what they're doing and their mission and helping people, I want to do it. You know, veterans and nonprofits, I mean, military nonprofits saved my life. I mean, they've gotten me out of situations and helped me get into other things. And it's just, I want to give back to that. And I want to help other veterans find that. I want to help other veterans find what I've been able to find. And if I can do that by partnering with a nonprofit that I believe in and that I think can actually help somebody, then I want to do that with all of who I am.
You know, and I know you say that, you know, there's a lot of help that you received, obviously, in your journey that, you know, started the way that it did and is still ongoing and probably will be ongoing for the rest of your life because it had such a huge impact on you. But why is giving back so important to you?
Because it's what it's all about. You know, no, there's nothing more important than helping people in this world. You know, we only have each other. You know, at the end of the day, the money doesn't go with you. You know, when you're laying in a box, the money doesn't go with you. The house, the cars, all that crap, that doesn't go with you. You know, but what can live forever is the impact that you have on somebody. And you can change that person's life. And I want to do everything in my power to help that person live better and freer and live. You know, I've lost way too many of my buddies here in the States than I ever did in Afghanistan, you know, to suicide and stuff. And if I can do my part to make that person put the gun down and decide to continue tomorrow, and then continue tomorrow, and then tomorrow, and then 5 or 10 years down the road, look at the day that they decided to continue life and everything that they've had since, then that's what I want to do. And that has become my life's purpose. And that has become the purpose of my music, because it's the most important thing we can do as a human race for each other.
Old flames run out and miss me. Old chrome runs out of shine. Old bottles run out of whiskey. No folks run out of time. No promises break easy. And no memories hit you hard. But if you just let them in your heart, good old dogs and God won't ever let you down. They listen when you're talking, just happy you're around. I don't know why they love us, but they do no matter what. There's two things you can count on, the good old dogs and God. Secrets they won't ever tell. They've seen you at your weakest, helped you get through hell. When you're in need of saving, you're feeling too far gone, they're always waiting there for you to come on home. Good old dogs and God won't ever let you down. They listen when you're talking, just happy you're around. I don't know why they love us, but they do no matter what. There's two things you can count on, good old dogs and God. Talking just
this time you're around. I don't know why they love us, but they do no matter what. There's two things you can count on.
You can tell just by listening to your music that your writing style is based a lot on your personal experiences. And a lot of it is based on your time in the forces as well. And it's something that a lot of people obviously connect to, and it's on a very similar level to yours. Did you expect the following that you now have from this?
No, not at all. You know, again, music for me was for me. It was for me to heal. I never in a million years ever thought that people would connect to my music the way that they have. You know, I just write from my heart. You know, that what I want to do with my music, with being able to help somebody, is I have to be completely open and vulnerable, and I have to let people see my heart, and I have to let them see my insecurities and my vulnerabilities, and that the only way that I can help people is if I'm 100% authentic in me. And these songs, the songs that I either pick that I hear that connect with me in some way, shape, or form, or the songs that I write, they are 100% me, and every song that I put out will be a part of me and an extension of me in some way, shape, or form. The me helping doesn't just go to, you know, doesn't just stop at the music. It's also, you know, I'm available on social media. If you reach out, I'll try to help you. I'll try to connect you with somebody. You know, there's something about almost dying that kind of lets you understand that it's important to leave this place better than when you came. And if I can do my part to try to, you know, make this world, or try to make even just my little community somewhat better, then I'm going to do it. And if that means that I have to be open and honest and show everybody who I am and my true colors and, you know, and bear it all, then I'm going to do that, because it's the most important part is taking care of each other.
So talk me through some of the artists that you've met. I know we've already kind of touched on Garth Brooks, but there's been quite a few more that you've had the opportunity of even introducing to the stage.
Yes. The biggest one, honestly, in my eyes, Dave Grohl. I got to open for him and introduce him and bring him on stage. We both played like a little acoustic set. It was one of the coolest experiences I've ever had in my life. Dave Grohl is another one of those guys that, you know, you look up to for so long. I mean, Dave Grohl is a legend. I mean, the guy is one of the greatest to ever do it. And he's also one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. It's so cool, because everyone that I've met so far, you know, I've really enjoyed. They just seem like really amazing people. I just met the guy. I just opened for Parmalee and Chris Jansen a couple weeks ago. The guys from Parmalee, incredible people. You know, and the craziest part is I was talking to their drummer, because Scott, their drummer, got shot also. So we were bonding and talking about getting shot together. It was such a strange conversation I never thought I'd have with another musician ever. You know, I just... There's a lot of things in this that I've been doing where I have to kind of take a step back and be like, this is insane. Like, I'm friends with people that are, to me, larger than life. I'm getting to play shows where there's thousands of people who care about what I have to say. Like, I never thought that it would get to where it is, and we're just kind of getting started, and it's unbelievable. It really is.
Rachel Price meets country singer and U.S. Army veteran Scotty Hastings.
The FBS.
The Forces Station.
I got another confession to make. I'm your fool. Everyone's got the chains to break. Holding you. Were you born to resist? Don't be. Someone getting the best, the best, the best of you. Is someone getting
I'm sure the musician lifestyle is busy and chaotic, and then doing all of that charity work on top of it, like, you mustn't have a single moment to yourself at all.
You know, it's very busy, but you know, I am incredibly blessed in the fact that I have an incredible label in Black River Entertainment, an incredible management team that understand that it can be crazy. And, you know, I have kids as well. So they make it a point to make sure that I take a little bit of time to myself and with my kids. And, because I am that guy, like, I am the guy that will be like, yeah, let's go. Like, let's go right now. Is there a chance that we could play for somebody in front of somebody and help somebody? Let's go. Yep. Let's go. That's what I want to do. So I am incredibly blessed that I have an amazing team behind me that, that not only believes in me, but also understands that you can get burnout, and that understands that my mental health is incredibly important, and they take care of me in that sense. So it's incredible, though.
And what do your kids think as well? Like, daddy's like this new global superstar.
Oh, man. They think it's insane. Actually, it's funny. So I have a billboard thing on the side of the label building right now, and we drove by it the other day, me and the boys did, and they're like, oh my god, this is so cool. it's just, it's really, really cool. And it's cool. You know, I want them to one day look back and be like, that's my dad. Like, that was my dad. There's some things that I have done and, you know, in war and, you know, other things that I regret. And I'm ready to be in that time of my life when I'm not regretting that anything. I'm making sure that I am building for the future for my kids. And I want them to eventually one day look back and be like, that was my dad. Like, that he was cool. Like, this is what he did. And, you know, and I want them to see what we're doing with my music. And I want it to kind of spark a fire inside them to help people and for them to understand that we only have one life and we only have each other, and that the most important thing that we can do is to take care of each other. And I want them to see that, and I want them to live that.
I bet they are super proud, and it certainly gives them bragging rights amongst their peers as well. It gives them that extra edge.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone else.
It's funny. I just played a halftime show at the Nashville Cats. It was an arena football team, and my oldest daughter was there, and she had like 3 or 4 of her friends that were there, and she was like, I know at least 3 or 4 people that are here. But I was like, well, then heck, you're gonna be the talk of the school tomorrow. It's really cool, and I want them to see me like living this dream that I never thought was possible. I want them to see me living this life that, like, someone with a disability, I'm playing the guitar with a disability. I want them to see that I had a dream and I went out and I made it happen. I want them to see that there's nothing that they can't do. When they, like, if I'm out here doing this, there's nothing that they can't do. And I want them to feel that and understand the strength in that saying. And I wanted to empower them and be incredible humans. So hopefully they are.
Is there anyone, you know, within the industry that you look up to?
Yes. Oh, man. So many people. Doug Johnson, my mentor, one of my best friends. He is one of the greatest writers I've ever met in my life. Lee Bryce. I mean, for me, Lee Bryce is the epitome of a country music star. You know, he goes out there, he plays the songs, people love him and his music, but he also has his family, and he has his family side, and he makes it work.
So if you could sum either Lee or Doug up with a song, what would it be?
Okay, let's see, Doug Johnson, I have to say it. I mean, the guy wrote 3 Wooden Crosses, so that would be his song. I mean, he is that guy that if he was dying, he would spend that last little bit of his time on earth trying to help somebody, which is what that whole song's about.
A farmer and a teacher, a hooker and a preacher, riding on a midnight bus bound for Mexico. One was headed for vacation, one for higher education, and 2 of them were searching for lost souls. That driver never ever saw the stop sign, and 18-wheelers can't stop on a dime. There are 3 wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not 4 of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That farmer left to harvest a home and 80 acres, the faith and love for growing things in his young son's heart. And that teacher left her wisdom in the minds of lots of children, and did her best to give them all a better start. And that preacher whispered, can't you see the promised land, as he lay his bloodstained Bible in that hooker's hand. There are 3 wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not 4 of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That's the story that our preacher told last Sunday, as he held that blood-stained Bible up for all of us to see. He said, bless the farmer and the teacher and the preacher who gave this Bible to my mama, who read it to me. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, now I guess we know. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway.
This is BFBS, the Forces Station.
Rachel Price meets country singer and US Army veteran Scotty Hastings.
I've noticed in a lot of the way that you talk about music and your heroes, there's a lot of that being open and being vulnerable. Why do you feel like that's like such a big thing for people to connect to?
Yeah. So for me, as a country music fan, I connect best with songs that I feel like are real from the person. You know, not only is that the most important part for me as an artist and for what I'm trying to do, but also that is just the way that country music is moving. You know, people want to feel connected to the songs. They want to feel connected to the artist that is making the song. And that's what I try to provide with my music as well.
So the future is looking very bright for you, Scotty, and this is just the beginning. So what do you have coming up in the very near future?
So June 2nd through the 9th, I got asked to come to Normandy, France for the D-Day celebration and play like five different songs. It's gonna be the coolest thing I've ever get to do, truly. There's going to be some incredible people there. There's going to be a lot. There like six or seven World War II veterans from that time. I'm so excited to meet them. It's hard to find words for something that cool. Like, it's going to be life-changing.
But you're also going to be the only U.S. artist performing at this as well, aren't you?
I am. I'm the only U.S. artist that got asked to come out and play. It's such an honor. That's way beyond what I ever thought I'd be doing. This was never a dream. And now here I am getting to do things that are just unimaginable. Blessed and honored, I don't think will ever be enough to explain how I feel, but those are the only words I can find right now. It's gonna be unreal.
So I know you said you're gonna be performing roughly about five songs. Is this all the new tracks from your EP that you've just released?
So I'll be playing like five different events, not just songs, like five different shows. But there's also a song that we were given that they wanted us to play, and I kind of fell in love with it. it's a great song, and we have since cut a version of it ourselves, and it's called Red, White, and Blue, and it talks about, you know, the casualty of war, and it's such a beautiful song, and it is a great song for the moment.
Is there one in particular off the EP that you just feel, this is me, this is who I am, this is my track?
Yeah, that one's easy. How Do You Choose? That is a song that I never wanted to write. It is the hardest song I've ever written. It is a song about my best friend that was killed in Afghanistan, and there's survivor's guilt that comes with losing somebody. There's times when I still have a hard time getting through that song. That song has since become so much more. That song has helped so many people, and I still get messages every day about someone hearing that song and it giving them a voice to explain how they feel when they didn't know the words. You know when a song becomes a way for someone to explain their feelings to their family and a way for someone to cope in some way, shape, or form, that's when a song becomes more than just a song. And this song has done that, and it's an incredible song. It really is. And I am so blessed that, you know, that I was in the room with my buddy Jesse Wayne Taylor, and I'm so incredibly blessed that my best friend Adam Hamilton, who was killed in Afghanistan, was in that room with us that day when we wrote it, and he knew that it was going to help people, because it hits hard, and it really does, and it talks about things that, you know, might not want to be talked about. You know, I mean, it's survivor's guilt. It's that question of how the hell am I here and someone else isn't, you know, and that idea of, you know, that thought of how do you choose, that that's not a new thought for people. You know, there's plenty of people, veterans like myself, that have lost some of the best friends they've ever known, and they've asked that question, like, how am I still here and they're not? Like, why is that a thing? You know, there's the mom and dad that lose a kid in a car wreck, you know, that ask the same question. There's the mom that loses a baby to childbirth and asks that same question. Like, this, that thought, this idea of, like, why am I here and they're not, isn't a new thing, and it's such a universal thought that it has since become such a strong song and such a beacon for some people, and I am beyond blessed that I get to be the person that wrote it and perform it.
Yeah, and I genuinely don't think that there is another word that you could describe that song as other than just beautiful, because it is a beautiful, beautiful track. So thank you so much for gracing us with a song that is just so human and so raw and so much of yourself in it, and showing your vulnerability in order to bring us peace. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Rolling down the window, too scared to get out. How do you say goodbye to someone you thought you couldn't live without? My mind is racing with memories of who he was and how good everything used to be. Damn, it could have been me. How do you choose who comes back home? Who goes under an old gravestone? I'm just asking, cause it makes no sense to me. Is it something that takes a little time? Does it even cross your mind? Or is this the way that it has to be? Tell me, God. My guilty conscience preys on my mind as I see the words they wrote after he left us behind. Now I'm on my knees. How do you choose who comes back home? Who goes under an old gravestone? I'm just asking, cause it makes no sense to me. Is it something that takes a little time? Does it even cross your mind? Or is this the way that it has to? Tell me, God, did I win or lose? Why am I here? Is there with you? How do you choose who stays here? Who goes home? I'll never understand feeling this alone. How do you choose who comes back home? Who goes under an old gravestone? I'm just asking, cause it makes no sense to me. Is it something that takes a little time? Does it even cross your mind? Or is this the way that it has to be? Tell me, God. Am I here? He's there with you.
How do you choose? God, tell me, how do you choose?
On air, online, on the app, on FM, and DAB Plus throughout the UK. This is BFBS. BFBS. The Forces Station.